Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tet. And we just finished the sugya of the Farhedrin, and we talked about the way that they would get new Kohanim Gedolim. They would be like these cheapo bureaucrats, and they would replace Lishkas Farhedrin just to outdo the other guy. And then we got into the sugya of how these Farhedrin, they would make people the real Farhedrin, obviously, not the Kohanim Gedolim. They would make the professional bakers sell at low prices. Because of that, we let them off of Meiser Sheni. It's a question, by the way, whether they had the people that would buy from them would have to take them off Meiser Sheni, which we didn't get around to discuss. Yes, so that's Machlokas, or whether they absolutely pottered bakeries from Meiser Sheni of Demai. And obviously, the only thing that you really had to worry about were things that would end up creating an issue of real chomer isurim, of chorus, and so on. And those things, they were machmar. Fine. So the other things, they didn't even give. So they could take off, but there was no need to give. Anyway, but getting on to today. So we got up to Omar Rabbi Yochanan, which is about three lines up from the middle of the daf. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'itichtiv Yirat Hashem Tosif Yamim, Ushnot Rishayim Tikzona. When it says in the Pasuk that Yira Shamayim gives people long lives, and the years of the Rishayim are cut short, Yirat Hashem Tosif Yamim refers to the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon. The Beis HaMikdash HaRishon was Omer Arba Me'ot V'Yasr Shamim. It lasted for a total of 410 years. And if you analyze how many Kohanim Gedolim were there over that entire period, Lo Shim Shubo Ela 18 Kohanim Gedolim. This is a big question of how do we get 18 Kohanim Gedolim, because of there is a list of Kohanim Gedolim actually in Divrei Hayomim that speaks about the entire history, and it only lists 9 Kohanim Gedolim. And the question is, how did we get from there to 18? One approach that Tosfos says is that we included the Kohen and the Sgan at the same time. So it would be like the 2 Kohanim. That's in reference also specifically. We have the Sgan Kohuna here in the Gabi Yom HaKippurim, is that's the Kohen Achter that we're Mamanim Tachta. Sort of a weak teretz. There is another fascinating approach that Tosfos brings, which is that if you analyze the number of Kohanim Gedolim from the time of Pinchas, and you include the Kohanim Gedolim that are the periods of the Mishkan, even before the Binyan HaBayit, so that would include the entire period of the Kohen Gedolah from the time that Pinchas' son became a Kohen Gadol, you do come out with 20, and you take out 2 of them, because 2 of them end up not having been Kohanim Gedolim their entire lives, because they were sent to Tegolas. So Yod Tzadok went into Tegolas together with Tzidkio, and Saraya went into Tegolas together with Konanyo, so Yochanyo. So it turns out that there is a basis for having 18. The Gra changes the Girsa to 12. That's a complicated analysis. It doesn't begin with the Mishkan. But anyway, it's a fascinating historical question of what the correct Girsa is. And Shnod Rishayim Tikzarna refers to the Migdash Sheni. The Migdash Sheni lasted almost the same amount of time. It was a little bit longer, 420 years, as opposed to 410 years. And if you take a look at how many Kohanim Gedolim were there, it was more than 300 Kohanim Gedolim over a period of only 420 years. Now, you think that's bad. If you take out the 40 long years that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, and then there was 80 years that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Meshamish. So then you're left, is if you add even the other 10 years of Yishmael ben Pavi, some say Reb Elozer ben Charsum was the Kohen Gadol for 11 years. But I mean, you're talking about over here almost no time for each of those Kohanim, because you've got like 140 years that are to take out. You still have 300 other Kohanim. So Tzeva Chashov Kol Achad V'Achad Lo Atish Nato. These guys literally didn't live the year out. Some of them didn't last a half a year. That's the only way that you can get this entire list of the Kohanim. And that was because of the way in which, now this is the girsa that the Bach adds, because this is the girsa that we find elsewhere. And that is Omer of Yochanan ben Turta. If you take a look at the Bach, the Kokach Lama, how could it be that there was, it was so drastic that these Kohanim literally didn't live out a year? Since they used to purchase the Kohuna Gedolah, and they weren't really roy for the Kohuna Gedolah, and we know that they used to purpose it. This was even, this isn't to say, Chas v'Shalom, that Yoshua ben Gamla wasn't roy to be a Kohen Gadol, but it's just an indication that even a person who was roy to be a Kohen Gadol had to end up getting involved in political shochad. And even we know that Rabasi said that Marta bat Baitus had to pay up to Yanai HaMelech a tarkava de dinre in order aduk milo Yoshua ben Gamla b'kohane ravrave, that he should make her new husband, Yoshua ben Gamla, he should make him the Kohen Gadol, even though he was the one that was most royal to be the Kohen Gadol. So that's the reason. Now, once we've quoted Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta, we quote Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta also in this story of the Churbones, which I'll start in a moment. I just want to bring the beautiful Maisa of who Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta was. Because Turta is not a common name, not a Jewish name and not a non-Jewish name. And there's an interesting Maisa that Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta was called Yochanan ben Turta. There's a story in the Midrash that he was a goy. And what happened was that he had purchased he had purchased it from a Jew. And this cow worked very well all 6 days of the week. But when it came to Shabbos, it refused to work. So it was a Jewish cow. And there was a Shvitas Be'emtar. So the cow got used to not working on Shabbos. Fine. So the goy was extremely upset and came and returned the cow and said, this cow doesn't work. I can't get it to work all week long. So the owner bends over and whispers something in the ear of the cow and says to the guy, now you can take the cow back. It'll be fine. Sure enough, takes the cow back and the cow starts working. So the guy goes ahead and accuses the Jew of black magic. So they want to burn this Jew at the stake, because who knows what kind of magical words he says to the cow. So the Jew explains to him the whole story, that listen, the cow had no idea that it's got a new owner and that there's no din of Shvises Behemte on Shabbos. And I just whispered in the ear that, listen, you're not a Jewish cow anymore, and that I sold you to a goy. That's all that I did. And at that point, the cow started to work. Anyway, this guy was so blown away by the fact that the cow's got more brains than he has. How come the cow is sensitive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon and to Shabbos, that he felt that he's got to become Jewish? So he became Jewish, and he called himself Yochanan. So they referred to him as Yochanan, the son of the cow, Yochanan ben Turta, because of the fact that he was so moved by the mice of the cow. It's a very cute story. So anyway, the same once we already bring up Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta about the Kenyan of the Kohanim Gedolim. So we're bringing already the Inyanim of the Churban, which I mentioned to you earlier, that Yoma actually involves us in the history, the Mishkan and the Bat HaMikdash, and that's much more than just the first time in the Mishkan that we had Yom HaKippurim. So Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta, Mipnei Machor Vashilo. Let's go through the Churbanas. We had Churban Shiloi, and we had the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni. Why was Shiloh destroyed? Mipnei Shayu Bashnei Dvarim. There were two terrible things that happened. These things happened because of the Bnei Eli. One was Gilui Arayot, and one was Bizayon Kodashim. Where is the Gilui Arayot in Shiloh? Dechti ve'eli zakein ma'od, v'shamat kol asher yasun banav l'cho Yisrael, ve'et asher yishkevun et anashim atzov ve'ot petach o'moed. So he hears that his children are accused of sleeping with these married women that are waiting there at the door of the Ohel Moed. Now, This is outrageously ridiculous. So actually, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni explained that Omer Rabbi Yochanan Kola Omer ben Eli Chatuenu Ela To'ez. Somebody who takes this literally is very stupid. But the point over here is that mitoch sheshahu kineihem. Yeah. Ma'al aleihem hakatuv ki'ilu shachvu. Even though we don't believe that there was literal Giloy Arayas, it doesn't need to be literal. Because the Torah views the sheresh of an action as being the equivalent of the definition of the chet. And since over here what they did was, they were balei gava, these women were obviously waiting there to make sure that their kinim were brought, because they didn't trust them, because they knew that you could, nowadays that we saw earlier, that we saw that in shkolim, that you could be absolutely sure once you deposit your ticket or your payment in the shofar for kinim, you can go home and Beis Din would see to it that every last one, including even money that was fell on the floor, every last one was brought as kinim. So there was no chashash. But the original story was you waited until the Kohen, you saw the Kohen actually bring the carbon. So they would stay over because these guys were slow and they wanted to be involved in the other korbanas first, you know, the behemoths, maybe because they get more to eat from a behemoth, who knows. But whatever the story was, how they justified it to themselves. But the point is that the Torah considers this to have been sexual manipulation. Because they got a Freudian thrill from the fact that these women would not be able to return to their husbands until they, Mr. Big Fat Cohen, decides what their fate is. And that was considered to be the equivalent of Giloy Arayas. This is the real meaning of the Gemara, which is an astounding thing. Because the Torah picks up on the subconscious motivations, and because of that, it really was Giloy Arayas. So it did involve aspects of Giloy Arayas mentally. And because of that, we say correctly that Bipnei Shayuba, there were in fact two big inyonim. One of them was Giloy Arayas. Not that it means literal Giloy Arayas, but doesn't have to, because there was Giloy Arayas involved in the Aveda. So Ma'ala Lema Katuv Ki Ilu Shachvum. This awareness, by the way, of Freudian elements in what it is that people do, and to consider that to be the equivalent of the Mokar of the Chet, as you understand, is incredibly ahead of its time. I mean, like this was things that nobody was aware of just a few hundred years ago. And there was also the other Chet, was Bizayon Kachin. Dichtiv, what's the Bizayon Kachin? It's a terrible situation. The halacha is that obviously the Kohen is given to Chazav Ashok, but the Kohen is only given a right to the Boser, Bichlal, and then Shlomim, to Chazav Ashok, if the Emurim were brought on the Mizbeach. This we darshan from the Pesukim, we saw this before in Pesachim. And what they would do was Gam Beterem Yikdurun Et Achelev, so before the Emurim were brought, Uba Na'ara Kohen, the Shliach of the Kohen would come, and would say, V'omar Le'ish HaZoveach, T'na Basar Litzlot LaKohen, give the meat now to the Kohen. He doesn't want to wait for you to give him a chaz of a shok when you've prepared the korban. He wants the meat now. So the person who's bringing the korban would say, okay, what's the rush? First, go ahead and bring the emurim. And then come take whatever you want. You don't want me to cook it, that's fine, but you can't take it now. The Omar and the Nar would say to him, absolutely not. Either you give it to me now, ki atatitein, v'im lo lakachti b'chaskar, if not, I'll take it by force. It's an incredible bizoyan. V'tihi chatat ha'ne'arim g'dola ma'odet p'nei Hashem, ki ni'atzu ha'anashim et minchat Hashem. This was considered to be such a bizoyan kochim that because of this and the other chait, the entire Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. Fine. That is Mishkan Shiloh. Mikdash Rishon. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Mipnei Machorav, Mipnei Shlosha Dvarim Shayuba. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Veshvichut Amim. Where do we see Avodah Zarah? Dichtiv, because it says, Ki Katsar HaMatsa B'Histarea, V'HaMasecha Tsara Ki Hitkanes. This is a very sad posik, that the bed is too thin for us to spread out on. And the blanket is too narrow for us to cover ourselves with properly. What does that mean? So we darsh it in Lashon of Notrikun. Katsar matzah zeh, this bed, which is the reference to the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Chadar HaMitot, is too thin, mi'istarer alav shnei reim ke'achad. There's no room over here to have two girls in the bed at once. What's that referring to? That we're comparing the Avodah Zorah that Menashe put into the Eichel to the Shechina Chas v'Chalila. And we're saying there's no room for the Shechina. One of us has got to go. And HaMatzecha Tzara Mitkanes means the same idea. There's no room now for us to snuggle up with the Shechina. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Kimati Rabbi Yonatan La'aykra Bochi. When Rabbi Yonatan would come to this pasuk, he would start crying. Amar Mandech Tive, Kones Kaneid Mehayam. Now we're talking about Kihit Kanes. This is a reference to the remez of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is the one that is Kones and takes the Yamsuf, does whatever he wants with the Mehayam. So now he has a tzara. What's the tzara? And the idol has become like a tzara, like a co-wife, Hashem Yishmar. So that is a reference to Avodah Zarah. And this is in terms of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Pasuk is saying. Gilui Arayas, Tichtiv, Vayomer Hashem, Ya'an ki gavu b'no tzion, v'tilach denutuyot garon, u'mesakrot einayim, haloch v'tafof telachna, u'beragleim ta'akasna, because the b'no tzion, Rashi says this is a reference to married women, because they are so stuck up, walking with their noses up in the air, and with eyes that are always winking all over the place, looking like they're basically floating as they walk, and then shooting poison with their feet. What does that mean? So Yanki gavu benot zion, shoyim alchot aruka betzad ktsara. So they would always endeavor that a tall woman, in order to look sexier, would walk bedafka next to a short woman so that she could show off her figure and how beautiful she is. Vateilachna netuyot garon. So then she would have like her nose up in the air. Shoyim alchot bekomas kufa. Umisakrot enayim. Misakrot is a lashon sikra, which is eyeshadow or, you know, makeup. So davi malyan kuchla enayim. They would fill up their eyes with all of this makeup and try to turn on the boys. Haloch v'tafov telachna. They look like they're floating in the air because when a woman walks along and she swings her hips, she wants to look sexy. So she would put, you know, her heel next to her toe, her big toe, and like walk down the street like she's floating in the air. This is a good one. Maybe somebody should try taking this to market. What they would do is they would put these spray perfume bottles, you know, inside their tall heels. So then when they would get next to a boy, they would just go psh, with their feet, spray the boy with this poisonous spray, which would basically turn him on. So all they would need to do is to give a nice stomping on their shoe. They would spray this stuff all over them. The lashon we're darshaning over here is ta'akasna. Ta'akasna is a lashon of ko'us or eres. So it's a snake. So it's like venom. So they would spray the Yetzer Hara over them like the eres of a snake that is infuriated. Okay, so that obviously if these are married women, that's a reference to Gilui Arayas. Shvichus domim dichtiv v'gam dam naki shafach min hashar be'maod ad hashem ileyat Yerushalayim pelape. So those are the three most choshev averes that a person is mechuyev to be meiser nefesh for gilui arayas shvichus domim and avedazor. Avo migdasheni continues Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa. Avo migdasheni shayu oskim b'torah u'b'mitzvot u'b'gmilut chasadim. Everything looked great over there. So like people, I mean, you know, you pick up these Jewish magazines, what are they filled with? Torah, yeshivas, mitzvahs, gemilas chasodim, all kinds of charity funds. Unbelievable. Wow. I mean, you'd be convinced that everything is like, just couldn't be better. Never there's so many yeshivas. So why were they destroyed? Mipnei shaita bo sinat chinam. By the way, as the Chofetz Chaim explains, sinas chinam never means sinas chinam as an internal thing. Sinas chinam means the things that sinas chinam leads to, which is lashon hara. We're going to see that directly from the Gemara. This goes back to the Chet HaMeraglim. And now, this is a little bit of a problem because this is a reference, the Bach points out, going back to the Mikdash Rishon. Okay, so now it's sort of a question of whether this should have been said earlier, but in any event, getting back to the Rishon, to the Mikdash Rishon, the Rishayim Ayu, Alashatolu Bitchonam Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu, we find in the Pasuk that these people might have been Rishayim, but they had a tremendous level of Emunah and Bitochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a reference back to us in the Mikdash Rishon. And it says first in the pasuk, Roshea b'shochad yishprotu, v'chohanea b'mechir yoru, u'neviyea b'kesev yiksomu, v'yal Hashem yishayinu l'mor, halo Hashem b'kirbeinu, lo tavo aleinu ra'ah. So basically, what they would do is that they felt that they could do all types of horrible things, but deep down they have good hearts, and they're semech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything will be good. So they didn't realize that Lamaisa, Lefecha Chevi Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sholosh Gezeres, Keneged Sholosh Averes. It's a big question in Rishonim. Are these Sholosh Gezeres, Keneged the Sholosh Averes that we mentioned before from Rabbi Yochanan ben Torta, namely of Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah? Or is this the Keneged the Roshea B'Shochad Yishpotu is one, Kohanel B'Mechir Yoru is two, Unaviyah B'Chesav Yiksomu. So it's not clear whether it's obviously the Achronim attempt to make the three Keneged the three. But in any event, the Pashtus Gemara is a little bit unclear. Shinemar, what are the three Gezeres? L'chein B'Glalchem Tzion Sadete Charesh, V'Yerushalayim Iyin Tiyeh, V'Harabayit Levamot Yo'ar. So therefore, the what will happen, so these could be three additional gezeres that are expressions not of the Chefza of the Churban, but of these, that seems to be how Rashi learns, the Chefza of the Churban, Rabbi Yochanan ben Torta said, is because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, and Shvichas Domim. But to say that we would plow over Tzion like a field, and Yerushalayim should become complete and total ruins, and the Harabayit should turn into like a forest, that already is a gezerah on a gezerah. What was that from? That was from these three later ways in which it was expressed by the Gedolei Yisrael and the Kehanei Yisrael. That's why this happened.
Intensity of the execution because of how bad we were as opposed to simply a destruction.
I didn't hear what? The intensity?
The intensity of the execution of Gezerah,
right.
It's aggravated because of the way we were, so that's why the intensity was there. The basic destruction was because of the core of Eroth, and this is the intensity of it. Is that what Rebbe is saying?
Yes, but I'm not sure if it's coming out well enough, that there's two different levels over here. The chait does not necessarily show an internal destruction. So the internal destruction, the willingness to engage in taking shochat. Taking shochat is worse internally than Gilui Arayah, obviously, right? Okay, the Gilui Arayah, so the guy has taiva, whatever. But to allow oneself to accept money for lies, that's an internal breakdown of any sense of integrity. Chatoyim are not necessarily a destruction of integrity. So Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah are part of the natural attractions, whether it's Lo Tzaturu Achrei Levavchem V'Achrei Einechem, or the competition of life. But it's not the same as the breakdowns. That's the idea of the mafia, that you know at least we can trust each other. We may all be murderers and so on and so forth, but what about trust? What happened to Emunah?
It's a code of conduct.
Yeah, but it's more than a code of conduct. It's integrity. So one is internal and one is external. That's the point. So the ones that cause an internal complete breakdown, that is seen in terms of plowing it over, of turning it into total ruins. There's nothing there. Mela, to punish for a person for averus is something else. That's what I think the point that Rashi's learning it is. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand, but that it's not true that this was this business about Sinas Chinam, which I understand. Now we're going to see, this is the Chofetz Chaim's raya, that when we talk about Sinas Chinam, it's Be'etzem, it's about Lashon Hara. Because the Gemara asks, wasn't there Sinas Chinam at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash also? Doesn't it say, Beferish in the Pasuk, this is from Yechezkel, that Megure al Cherav Hayu Etami, Lechein Sfok Hayarech. Now this, we're going to see the beginning of the Pasuk in a moment. It says, Za'ak Ve'Helel Ben Adam, Ki Hi Aita Ba'ami, should go out and cry your heads off, people, because this in the end is going to destroy my nation. So there it says, what was it? That people are terrified of each other. They're terrified of the sword. And that's why you should hit your thigh as an expression of avelus. What is that referring to? Omar Rabbi Elazar. These are people that they go to parties together. They go to Kiddushim together. They sit down at the table. Everybody's saying over Maisalach. Everybody's being nice and friendly. They're Ochlim Vishotim Zeim Zeh. And everybody like believes the other guy, you know, yeah, he's a nice guy. But Dokrim Zed Zebech Aravotcha B'Lashonam, they might as well be carrying daggers. They always manage to say something that's Lashon Hara to undermine them. And people are terrified. They literally don't want to go to a Kiddush. And that comes, and this is the Raya. This is the Gemara's Raya for Sinas Chinam. So you see that we're understanding that it's the expression of Sinas Chinam in Charavotcha B'Lashonam that is meant by Sinas Chinam. That's the Chafetz Chaim's point. Answers the Gemara, yes, there was that in the Migdash Rishon, but that was not the norm of behavior. The people on the street were nice people. They were good people. And they didn't just speak about each other and try to always engage in something or other that should be a one-upmanship of hurting the other person the way it is today. So that was only B'nisiyei Yisrael Havoy, the upper echelons of the people that were in charge and were involved in politics. They became corrupted by the politics. And that corruption became the Sinas Chinam at that time. Because if you take a look at the Pasuk, this was the beginning of the Pasuk that we talked about, Bigurei Cherev, it says, Za'ak Ve'Helel Ben Adam, Ki Hi Haita Ba'ami, this was in my nation. But the Bryce explains, V'Tanya, Za'ak Ve'Helel Ben Adam, Yocholako, you might think he aita ba'ami is the pshat that all of Klal Yisrael was affected by this. No, because the pasuk continues on to say, he bechol nesiyei Yisrael. It wasn't that it affected everybody. It was only the people that were involved in politics that were like this. But the people on the street were decent people. So because of that, we need to trace something more profound that would explain the Binyan Rishon's destruction. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, the Amrei Tarvayu, look at the difference. The Rishonim, Shnitgala Avonam, Nitgala Kitzam. The first Deres did not pretend to be something that they weren't. But then the people were Isaac and Gilei Arayah, Shvichazdomim, and so on and so forth. It was not that I'm pretending to be different than I am. So because the Ovain was clear, so too was the Gezerah against them clear and their ability to do Teshuvah clear, and they didn't have to struggle with trying to understand what is so screwed up about me. But the Achronim, the second generations, honestly believed that they were good people. It's like, you know, it's this house of cards, which everybody's being Meshabeach, everyone else, everybody's being Mechabit, everyone else, so everybody comes to believe, oh, we all must be wonderful. Vaharaya, all these other horrible people believe I'm wonderful, so they must be wonderful. And it's an incredible impossibility for people to see how totally corrupt everything has become. And because of that, the Gezerah against them had no end. Now look at the difference. 70 years versus thousands of years of Golos. I mean, look at the difference between them. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you think that, you know, oh my God, these people were murderers and adulterers and God only knows. Let me tell you something. I'd rather take your fingernail of the earlier generations with all of their Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Domim and Avodah Zarah than to take the entire Metzias of one of these Gedolim of the later generations that are shayach to this phoniness. There's no comparison. It's amazing how totally different this is from the way people look at things. Amar le Reish Lakish, I think it's just different. It's the exact opposite. I mean, how in the world do you explain the fact that look what people went through in Europe and these incredible, the Crusades and all of these horrific, violent acts of anti-Semitism, of burning down whole communities, of killing millions of Yidden. And Afa Gavdi Ikashibut Malchias Ka'aski Batera, in the middle of all of that, I'm telling you, you go to these places. I was just blown away by this. I went to Prague to see where the Maharal would sit and learn. I was just like totally blown away. I literally couldn't stand being there for a minute. I had to get out as quickly as possible. I didn't want to stay. I just ran to the airport to leave. It was so horrific. To think in this darkness, this ugliness, this horror with the Avodah Zarah all over the place is nothing. I mean, Kadosh, 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 the picture of Yoshka. I mean, but that in this darkness with the murderous intents of these people, that the morale would sit here and he did what he did and he was Isaac Patera. It's like you feel like a piece of garbage. You're given everything in the world, no mysterious nefesh at all. You're sitting there smoking your cigarettes and having your tea and a nice coffee with cake in the break. It's great. And you manage to go through, one millionth of what the Maharal goes through. It's unbelievable. So it says Reish Lakish. I mean, how can you compare it? Look at these people. They had everything, And now you have these later generations and they're all sitting there being Isaac Batera, despite all of the hell that they're going through. Omar Leh said, Rabbi Yochan, it's all very nice theoretically to make those cheshbonos, but there's one very simple test. Do we have a Beis HaMikdash? No. Did these guys have a Beis HaMikdash? Did it come back to them? Yes. So Bira Tochiach, there's your raya. The Beis HaMikdash, our capital, the Kula Bayis Kala Bira, we had the Machlokas earlier. That's your bottom line. It came back very quickly to those, what you think are the horrible first generations with their awful things. It never came back to all these wonderful people that are sitting there with the Kiddushim and the yeshivas and the unbelievable magazines of the Chesed organizations. Nothing. Shaluot Rebbe Yes Elazar, what do you hold? Were the Rishonim Gedolim or Acharonim Gedolim? Amar Lehem, look, Tnui Nechem Vabira. Look at the Beis HaMikdash, What is there to talk about? So this, in the Yerushalmi, is brought out very clearly that it's different from the Ikedi Amri. Ikedi Amri, others say that what he said was, Edechem Bira. The Raya to you is the Bira, which is basically the same idea that Rabbi Yochanan said, the Bira Tochiach. But the first Lashon in the Yerushalmi, Tnui Nechem Vabira, is the difference between the destruction and in the Bayis Rishain and the Bayis Sheni. Because over there, the idea that is brought by the Yerushalmi is that the idea is that in the Bayis Rishain, it says over there, the Lashon of the Pasuk is Vaigal et Masech Yudah, the Masach became unrolled. That's how Yeshayahu refers to the Churban. Which means that basically, you tore down, the Lashon of the Gemara is, we tore down the roof. Avira tatikra. So we tore off the roof of the Beis HaMikdash with our maizik. Masha enkein anu, pipanu ataktalim. That's how Omrim aru aru ada yisodba. That's the difference in how we directly attack the Beis HaMikdash. The second Lashon, which is the Edei Chembira, that means take a look, who got the Beis HaMikdash back? Reish Lakish was once, we know Reish Lakish was a hell of a powerful swimmer. We had to tell the story of Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish was once swimming in the Yarden, and he's trying to come out of the water. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana comes by and sticks out his hand to give him a hand to help him out of the water and he shouldn't slip. So Reish Lakish looks at him and says, oh my God, I hate your guts. This is a classic Reish Lakish greeting. Don't give me your hand, you no good thing. I hate you. Dechtiv im chomahi nivne alea tirat kasep, im delati natsur alea luach oras. What do you think that Shlomo HaMelech meant when he was referring to in Shir HaShirim? He was talking about coming back b'mei Ezra to build the Beis HaMikdash. So if Klal Yisrael would be coming back like a chomah, so then we could build a tirat kesef, we could build a crown made of silver. But if Klal Yisrael is going to act like a door, we could put up maybe a panel made out of cedar. I don't know. What does that mean? If b'mei Ezra, alitem kulchem, if you had all come up when you were given permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so then we would have been able to build kesef. We could have built a Beis HaMikdash that was the equivalent of silver. Silver doesn't rot, doesn't decay. She'en rakav sholet bo. Now, what did you do? You're like doors, okay? So we had like a little bit of a door. You know, some of the doors are open, some of the doors are closed. Yeah, so one door came up. You know, 40,000 some people come up. So akshav shalitim kidlatot. So now the mashal of the Beis HaMikdash that was built was keres. Sharakav shalit po. There's nothing in it. What do you mean when you say it's keres? In what sense? Omar ula, I mean like erez that has been attacked by sasmagor. Sasmagor is a wood-eating worm that eats out the inside, leaving just the surface of the wood. So basically, the Beis HaMikdash, it looks like a Beis HaMikdash, but it didn't have anything inside, meaning there was no Shekhinah that was Shoyra. And the reason no Shekhinah was Shoyra was because of you, Mamzerim, from Bavel, and I refused to talk to you. Okay? And what exactly is the meaning? What's the leftover? You're saying there is something, so what's the Sasbagor mean? What is the marshal? Well, Omer Ababa, that nowadays we don't have the Shekhinah in the second base of English, we have the Basko. Kiritanya, Misha Meitun Vim Achronim, Chagai Zechariu Malachi, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi Yisrael. The last remnants of Ruach HaKodesh was at the death of those last Nevi'im when we built the second Beis HaMikdash. But Adayan Ayu Mishtamshim Bevat Kol. At least we could hear a basko. So there was a getter of some type of Gilui Min HaShamayim. What? How did this story happen? Are you trying to tell me that Reish Lakish had a conversation with Rabba Bar Bar Chana? I mean, I understand he says, oh, hell, I hate your guts. I mean, but then he talked to him and he started explaining to him why I hate your guts. And if you had come up, I can't believe Reish Lakish would talk with a guy like Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Umar Rabbi Elazar Demara Da'ar Yisrael Havi Velo Havi Mishtai Reish Lakish Ba'adei. Rabbi Elazar was the greatest Boki in Maritz Domim, as we saw. And he was the one that everyone would have to go to. They called him Marad Arad Yisrael. Reish Lakish would not talk to him in public. Because Mandem Ishtoi Reish Lakish Badei Beshuk Yavala Yiskebelo Sahade. Anyone that Reish Lakish would speak to, people would consider that person to be so totally reliable that you would give him over an entire business and stock without witnesses, without needing anything. It's as if it's your own self. He's so reliable. And he wouldn't talk even with Marad Arad Yisrael. You're telling me that Reish Lakish would have had a conversation with Rabba Bar Bar Chana? Omer of Papa, you're right. We must have gotten this wrong. One or the other is wrong. Either it's Reish Lakish is wrong and he wasn't the guy who was swimming, or Rabba Bar Bar Chana was wrong and he wasn't the guy who was offering the hand. It must be that Shdi Gav Rabinayu. Replace one of these people. It's either Reish Lakish together with Zairi, or it was Rabba Bar Bar Chana, and it was Rabbi Elazar who was the one who was doing the swimming. Anyway, when Reish Lakish came to Rabbi Yochanan and he told him over the mice, this is what I told Rabba Bar Bar Chana, or Zairi, as the case may be. So then he told Rabbi Yochanan, said to him, you're wrong. Your drasha is wrong. Lav Einu Taima, the reason that there was no Shekhinah in the second Beis HaMikdash is not because they were not Oyla from Bavel properly. Inami Sliku Kula B'mei Ezra Lo Havishar Yashkinah B'Mikdash Sheni. Had every last Jew come back from Bavel, it wouldn't have made any difference because there is a Gezerah, the Shekhinah could not have been in the second Beis HaMikdash for a very simple reason. Dichtiv Yaft Elohim LeYefet, but Yishkon Ba'ol HaShem. So it may well be that very beautiful things were given to Yefet and Poras, who built the second Beis HaMikdash is from Yefet. And indeed, mi shelo ra that binyan of the second Beis HaMikdash, lo ra binyan yafe me'olam. So it was very beautiful, and in that sense, it was greater. But nonetheless, afagav the yafte lehim liyefet, ein hashchina shayra, ela ba'ol Hashem. The truth is that there is no hashras hashchina unless it's built by the children of Shem and not by the children of Yefet, and that's only true of the first Beis HaMikdash that was built by Shlomo HaMelech and so on. Okay, tomorrow we'll go into the details of why are we so sure that Paras is a descendant of Yefet. And I'm sure Barnea will prepare for us many ancient maps and genealogies and so on and so forth. I still have the book that you brought me back from Turkey, which is where many of...
That's what I was thinking of that image.
I have that book still, where the Turks actually went through this Gemara, basically. They went through all of the different amim and how they relate to the people in the Torah.